Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. I am really excited for my conversation today. I've got Peter here from Box Brownie. We are pumped to talk about all things marketing. And Peter, man, thank you so much for stopping on the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Great to be on such a show. It's rare that I get to sit on a marketing show. So I'm delighted to join you all the way from Australia this morning. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, if you're listening to this guy, I had no idea that he actually lived in Australia. It's like 3 a.m. for him now, or 2 or 3 a.m. now. And he's in the U.S. so much. And if you know Peter, you probably have interacted at an event or in some form or fashion. So thanks for staying up super late
that's fine. Yeah. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Give us a little bit of the backstory, man. How did you get to where you are today and with Box Brownie?
Yeah, so the Box Brownie, if you're not aware of it, revolves around image editing. And I suppose here in Australia, which is where we started our heartland, what we thought is the concept revolved around giving agents the power to one up their marketing game, specifically property marketing. I know marketing's referred to quite a lot of things in the US, but it specifically revolves around the marketing of a property for sale or for lease. And that was the simplest concept of Box Brownie, to actually devise a service whereby an agent could get that service back for an agreed price very, very quickly. And it was devised. So, you know, like you've been to the MLS and you've seen rubbish house photos, to try and remove that from inside of brokerages. That's kind of been the global war we started, unbeknownst to us, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, if you want to call it that.
That's awesome. So for somebody that doesn't know, what specifically do you do to help from a marketing a property to lease or to purchase?
Yeah, look, there's two answers to that question. So what does Box Brownie do? It has a range of services that improve the imagery of property marketing. What the largest part of what I do and I do on behalf of Box Brownie is I run around the world demonstrating better ways to actually one up your game as far as where do you sit at the moment? How is your property marketing and how do we move that forward? And you know, it can be just as simple as photographic edits. It can be advising you on things like copy. You know, we deal with virtual tours because we're at the coalface of editing images. We see just about everything that a purchaser would look at. And my background is I'm a broker owner. I'm a real estate agent here in Australia. And you know, all of the products that you see, we know fit into the game in whichever portion you're in, whether that's residential sales, commercial, luxury, property management. There is a play here and there is a way to move your marketing forward. It's rare I find anyone that does sort of everything that we encompass, and there's always room for improvement in your property marketing game. And in line with that, we're always coming out with new products that, you know, you can one up your competitors in the area that you operate, or you can just make yourself better at being able to sell a house faster and for more money. And that's probably the biggest thing. You know, none of our products really matter if they don't work. Right. If you're not selling a house faster for more money, then we want to know about it.
What would you say are like those head scratching things that you see agents do that, like, what are maybe 2 or 3 things that if they fix, they could sell houses for, you know, faster and for more money?
Well, yeah, that's an excellent question. Globally, when we started this, we started it from a perspective of only being able to see Australian marketing, right? So if you have a think about the way, I mean, I don't expect you to know what Australian property marketing looks like, but it's very inherently different to what we see in the US, as the UK is inherently different to what we see in the US, and so is the EU. All of the markets we operate in, we're in a lot of countries. And the head scratching thing, I suppose, in answer to your question, was in the US, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, your marketing is quite poor. Your property marketing sits underneath global standards. And in fact, if I had to list them out, your marketing sits under Thailand, which is a third world country. If you actually judge it across the board, so and let me speak a little bit about how we go about judging that. The NAR, or the National Association of Realtors, has a home generational buyer and seller trend report. It's been coming out yearly from 2013 all the way through to 2020. And religiously, it has a slide in there that I think every agent should use as their Bible on their wall when they come to market a house. It talks about what purchasers actually want to see. So this is a survey of, you know, quite a number of purchases in the US. And it asked them at the end of the transaction, what did you find important as far as the property marketing was concerned? And in order of preference, I'll list the five things. So the first thing was good imagery. I mean, you've been to an MLS. Tell me what your thoughts are on how good is the imagery. Yep. Yeah, I can see you've got a smile on your face at the moment. The second thing is copy with all essential details. So that's the actual text, but not just the text that you put in. That is also, you know, detail specific to the property. What's the floor made of? What are the walls made of? What brand is the hot water system? The third thing is a floor plan. You guys have only 5% of MLS listings have a floor plan on it. The fourth thing is a virtual tour. Less than 3% of your market features a virtual tour. And the fifth thing is video. So, and that is in order of preference. That is what your purchasers want to see. That's not an agent telling you. That's not the seller. So I will say that specifically, video features quite low. It's outside, right outside the top 10 when you merge that all together. Video features down the bottom, but is so hugely, insanely popular amongst agents. And that is because your seller actually wants to see a video, that they see that as a tick of approval for you as a listing agent. If you're able to do a video, it's also an excellent branding exercise for Grant Wise, the realtor. But if we actually look, if we stop and look at the five deliverables that your purchasers want to see on your stats alone, the NAR generational stats for the last 7 years, the check marks are quite poor. And that's how we judge it. So when I go to a country and I look at their marketing, I'm looking firstly at their imagery. How do you compare with Thailand? Well, there are the same amount or the same percentage of people taking smartphone photos and uploading them without any kind of image editing. The professional photography in Thailand is very similar to the professional photography in America, and the take-up rates are very, very similar. Then we move to copy. Well, I can't judge the copy in Thailand because it's all in Thai and I don't speak that. So I'm just going to move that one to the side for the time being. But, you know, copy in America is generally done well. The third thing is a floor plan. Only 5% of the MLS listings have a floor plan in America, whereas 72% in Thailand have a floor plan. So, you know, that's a huge way ahead of you. The take-up rate on virtual tours in Thailand sits at 5%. It's only 3% in America. And I'd say your use of video is higher. Nearly every agent has some kind of video. So you'd be sitting, we don't have stats on this, but you'd be sitting the 90%, whereas that's not hardly featured at all in Thailand. So, but if you compare the two, that's a third world nation compared with a first world nation. And it's quite staggering that you guys would be anywhere close to that. And that has been, coming back to the answer to your question, what are agents doing badly? Those five things, across the board, there needs to be a reality check in the US as to why the heck are we not focusing on that? And to tie that in with current circumstances is what we've just seen. And I know prior to the podcast, we were talking about the current COVID scenario that's going on. In my opinion, the scramble that I've seen across the US, the agents who are actually doing those five things and doing them well have continued to operate very, very successfully without much of a hassle. The agents who are maybe only doing one of those, maybe only doing one of those, they are the ones that are really hurting at the moment, because what we have found is there is a desperate need to qualify the purchaser. Gone are the days where we are showing 47 properties to one buyer, because you don't know what you're going to catch in any of those 47 properties. So the need for property marketing, or the marketing of a house, has to actually qualify the purchaser before they get in there. And so I know that's a very long response to your answer, but it's a multifaceted question.
Well, no, it's the best response. I mean, why do you think that is? Do you think that agents are just so busy they're trying to check a box and get it out there? I mean, what do you see as one of the motivations for such poor effort, it seems like, into those things?
Yeah, Yeah, there's a number of things. So it's important to understand the way your real estate agents, the way your property industry works is different. You have a dual agent approach where you have a listing agent and you have a purchasing agent. Now,
so
outside
actually
of North,
pretty unique to the United States. It's
yeah,
not necessarily.
Yeah, you're bang on. Outside of North America, it's not done. And parts of Mexico, it's not done. So here in Australia, there's an individual agent, and they are the listing agent. And so effectively, you know, their job is to liaise directly with the purchasers, and describing that property is something that we've found to be incredibly important to the purchasers. So we have that direct channel, that direct feedback has been given, and we've listened to that. The secondary thing is that there is currently no training manual teaching an agent how to market a home in the US, and that boggles my mind. So at real estate,
like not provided by like NAR or some of the bigger organizations, or just in general,
there's no certification. There's no designation that teaches you how to actually market a house. If you look at all of the property marketing that is described, it's actually how to market grant wise, how to get leads, how, you know, lead generation is hugely popular to you guys. But when I go to real estate school, if you want to call it that in Australia, or real estate college, it is the first thing they sit you down and they go, look, here is the product that you were going to be marketing. Here is how to do it. And beyond that, Grant, and really importantly, they teach you that it's not necessarily about selling a house. It's about marketing a product to a target audience. Now, I'm aware in America, the Fair Housing Act, you know, and the amount of discrimination that has existed in the recent cases, I think it was a Long Island cases. I'm not quite sure, but NAR have brought in a Fair Housing Act, and you have to now be careful about the target audiences you use. So I'm not saying you exclude anyone, just for the record, but I'm saying that when you have a house that's next to a hospital, a potential target audience for that hospital would be the people who actually operate or visit that hospital. And so when I talk about marketing a product, every house is a product. There may be several defined target audiences. It could be a nurse, it could be a doctor, it could be students next to a university. You need to look at the mediums that are specific to that target audience, and you need to operate through those. So that is probably one message that we get. The other answer to your question, you know, just to take it beyond there, is I think agents are actually onboarded as buyer's agents, not necessarily as listing agents. You might be able to tell me whether that's correct or not. But
it really depends, because the old model was, if you don't know how to sell real estate, just go ask your broker or somebody on the real estate brokerage will teach you how to do it, but they're likely going to take, you know, a significant portion of your commission. And then when the Kellers of the world came in and put this really unique spin of teams on it, where we're basically going to turn all of our agents into recruiters and build these micro teams under brokerages, you started to see that big shift of the buyer's agent come about, where it's like, hey, come on our team as buyer's agent. You're going to do all of our dirty work, but we're going to teach you, and you're going to learn how to build a business. Anybody listening to this podcast might be like, Grant, you are a jerk. That's not what actually happened and all that. And that's why there's probably a million things that could have happened, but a lot of people are onboarded as buyer's agents, to your point.
Yeah. So there is that, you know, and I think it all comes together. So all of those things we've mentioned, you know, the lack of sufficient training in actually how to market a property, then, you know, the onboarding of buyer's agents, even just the absence of seeing it on a regular basis, like your competitors make you better, whether you're aware of that or not. Yeah. So if you're in an area where the status quo is, we're just going to take a photo with the smartphone and upload it to the MLS, there's very little incentive for you to be actually better at that. And it'll be the people trailblazing at the front that, you know, you'll be looking at their marketing and go, how the heck are they doing that? Well, that is because they're on top of their game. So by no means am I meaning to have a broadside swipe at the US. It was just an unexpected thing for me when I came to the US to find that the levels of marketing were quite low. And if you want to have a look at it at the best in the world, you know, if you're listening to this and you actually want to have a look at who are the best or the area that is the best, you'd go to Scandinavia. Those countries are off the handle. You'd be looking at Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and even outside of Scandinavia, Switzerland, and also Australia. I would put our our property marketing up there. You know, if you look at those five categories that we spoke about before, good pictures, a copy with essential detail, a floor plan, a virtual tour, and videos, just about every listing in Australia has those five things attached to it. And that's not just in property sales, that's in property management, that's in commercial sales, commercial leasing. And there's very little definition between a standard house and luxury. Luxury, it's really all stops out. It won't just be a video. There'll be, you know, it'll be on a grander scale. But if you want to have a look at them, you go to those countries.
There's definitely a lot of, before I ask this question, where would I go look at those countries? Do I just search homes for sale in these countries and get a good
Australia is the easiest because we have the worst case scenario. Like, I know you guys are always worried about Zillow taking over, right? In Australia, the Zillow did take over and they're called realestate.com.au. So you can go to realestate.com.au and you can search. I live in a regional area. If you search in my postcode, which is 4558, and that's a weird place called Maroochydore, and just scroll through the top 100 listings there and have a look at what they actually have and how that compares with your marketing. Pay attention to the photography. You know, one of the biggest questions I ask of American agents is, yes, you're saying to me you've used a professional photographer. I've found that the term professional in front of photographer is a highly subjective term. It could mean my best friend's sister's girlfriend's uncle has bought a Nikon camera and is now able to shoot a house. but what I would encourage you to do is have a look at an internal shot and ask yourself whether you can see outside the windows with the same clarity that your eye sees, because that determines whether that professional photographer is using a technique called bracketing. And I've found that less than maybe 5% of America uses what globally we would refer to as a professional photographer. You can't see outside the windows. There's a white haze. There's a fuzzy haze. I know you're all going to be fumbling through your listings at the moment to have a look, because it's not an expected standard. Yet if someone turned up to any of my brokerages and said, hey, I'm a photographer, here are some of my works, and I couldn't see clearly outside the window the way the eye sees, I'd fire them. They just wouldn't, they would never get a gig. I don't know what to say. It's a whole new world. It's a ball game. It's a way of holding yourself to a higher standard. And in turn, you know, a lot of people in America are also quite passive about why they need to do this. Why do I need to do it when I'm Grant Wise? I've already got, you know, a profile in the community. People come to me. Why you have to do it is you sell a house faster for more money. That's a statistically proven fact. That's an NAR stat. That's not mine. Then beyond that, you get more listings. So people are looking at your listings every day and they're going, how the heck is this guy so far above his any kind of competition in the area? And some of it's really simple. Some of you will live in areas where there are no floor plans. Grant, are there floor plans? Are people putting floor plans on listings?
Not on most of the things that I see, not even on the leases. I think apartments do a really good job about putting floor plans in their stuff.
Yep.
But on most things, I don't actually see that. No.
Imagine if it was a default, and it's really easy to do. So at my real estate school, I learned how to draw them. I can draw a standard size house in less than 5 minutes on a floor plan. That's crazy. The whole notion of that is crazy. Most Americans say to me, I don't know how to draw one. It's not difficult. We have instructional, whole series of instructions at our blog, boxbrandy.com/B. You can go and learn. You're in COVID. You're stuck inside a house. Right. I'm assuming you have a roof over your head. I would be drawing that up every day until I became really good. And nothing says rock star to a vendor more than an agent who can draw that floor plan and come back with it professionally redrawn in under 24 hours. So, I mean, I used to use marketing to win listings. I would do things we would call a twilight conversion. Mr. and Mrs. Smith would say to me, hey, Pete, we want you to list our house at 123 White Street tomorrow. I would drive past 123 White Street or get one of my PAs to do that. And they would get out of the car. They'd take a photo with a standard iPhone. I would twilight convert that for $4. So that would form the main part of my CMA. Now they're all of a sudden going, how the heck has this guy done this? Has he driven past at twilight? Has he waited for that perfect shot? No, I didn't. I drove past with my iPhone and I paid $4 for someone to convert it to Twilight. And then I would ask them, Mr. and Mrs. Smith on the phone, do you have a floor plan? If they had a floor plan, happy days. Send me a photo of it on a smartphone. I would come back with that drawn up as a dollhouse. This would be on the CMA, so that the poor bloke that's coming after me in the listing, he's walking in with a bunch of blurb in a document saying this is what your house is worth. I'm showing them a warm, emotionally charged Twilight image. I have their floor plan professionally drawn. Who the heck do you think they're going to listen to when I say I know how to market a house?
And I think that so many agents can learn so much in what you just said. You walk into listing presentations and a lot of people are tacticked up, meaning they know how to close, they know how to respond to this objection and that objection. But so many are so limited in their knowledge or ability to actually describe how they're going to market and sell the product, which is the house.
That's a very good point.
We coach people all the time on, look, you're an advertiser for this person's home. Go in and talk about how you're going to promote the property. Talk about the impressions. Talk about the leads you generate per property. Talk about the offers you generate per property. Talk about a lot of the things numerically that they're really going to want to know. And how are you going to package this product and sell it? The question I was going to ask, or maybe not question, but a lot of people we find we're teaching them kind of in reverse of what the rest of the industry is teaching. It's like, look, nobody cares about your brand until they know that they need it. You've got to stop going out there and putting your face on everything, because if nobody knows that they need to buy a house, then they're not, like, none of that stuff is going to matter. I know that's what you're hoping for, but hey, listen to this. This is psychology, buyer psychology, by the way. If I am interested in buying a property, that does not instinctively mean I'm interested in getting a realtor. I'm going to go to Zillow or whatever Google search immediately and start looking at the products, just like you're describing, which are going to give me access to information, and then you can use that information to generate more opportunities and brands. So this has been an incredibly insightful conversation. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to jump on here and talk marketing with you. Some fascinating stats, some stuff I absolutely had no idea. I'm going to go look at some of these other markets in other countries and compare how much different these things are.
Yeah, do it. It's great to come on here and talk about property marketing with you. I think it's a conversation that's worth having in the US in general. I certainly would encourage anyone who's listening to, you know, even just up your game in one of those areas. Just make yourself better at what you do and notice the impact of that. Notice what, you know, a large part about the marketing that I've spoken about is also the tail end of it, which is testing and measuring or auditing your marketing processes to make sure that you are making the process efficient. So, you know, that's a large portion of what would actually encourage you to do. A lot of what you should do is actually start by testing and measuring how is the marketing that we're currently doing impacting the effective cause of sale is the term I would put on it. Like where is that coming from? So look, if you're listening today and that's been something that you want, or that's of interest to you, then follow up, go to better yourself, start by looking at where your leads are coming from, where people are actually purchasing these houses and what they're looking at on the way in.
I love it. What's the best way for somebody to learn more about you guys and get access to a lot of the information you guys have?
Oh, look, I mean, all of our information's on our website, boxbrownie.com. You can go there. If you want to better your marketing skills, go to the blog, boxbrownie.com/B. If anything I've said today, you know, you want to hurl abuse at me, you're listening to this and you're going, that's not in our market. I don't hide behind my stats, my figures or my content. So feel free to send any abuse to peter@boxbrownie.com. It's very, very, it's very similar. I know, you know, a lot of what I say is quite confronting, and I understand that. It's in no means my friends are. I'm not trying to have a broadside at the industry. I'm just trying to highlight a point in order to actually move you forward in what you do. And I'm here to assist you in doing that. So
yeah,
well, if you need anything from me,
you're going to grow, you need a little pain. And that's at the end of the day, that's usually how you.
Yeah. And to be fair, you know, there are a ton of things that are done so much better in America than they're done in Australia. So it's not even an arrogant me looking from in going, you guys are so poor. You know, your lead generation follow up, the marketing of yourselves as brand ambassadors is just all over the Australian agents. They just can't compete. So, you know, it's not like I'm looking in going, well, that's poor. I'm actually taking the better parts of both and sharing them across the board in order to, I guess, level up in whatever area that may be.
I love it. Well, if you got any hate for Peter, make sure you email it over to him. Otherwise, yeah. Just check yourself and go check out boxbrownie.com and learn more about their products and services and check out their blogs. You get better and better at marketing. Definitely a great company. Peter, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks and have an amazing day.